is a public service announcement. The episode that you are about to listen to is part of the annual Distraction Pieces podcast, Drunkcast. What is about to follow may be offensive, may be stupid, it's us getting drunk, and please forgive us if we say anything horrific. All right, on with the episode.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Distraction Pieces podcast, episode 547. It's part 4 of the Drunk Cast. If you've made it this far, God bless you. Merry Christmas. Hope you had a good Christmas. Hope you're looking forward to the new year. If you're listening to all of these in the new year, if you're binging them in one go, good luck to you. Yeah, this doesn't need to be a long intro. You know the deal. If you've got money you want to throw at good merch, you go to speechdevelopmentrecords.com. You don't go to the Boxing Day sales. You go to speechdevelopmentrecords.com, who have their permanent cost of living sale on. You go to patreon.com/ScroobiusPip. You go, man, I want to throw some money at these idiots. Or, I mean, only at me and, you know, the Distraction Pieces lot. Chris and Stu don't get a penny of this. I should mention, go to their Patreon, Hardcore Listing Patreon. And twitch.tv. Anyway, I'm shutting up. Let's get on with the episode. This is part 4 of the Drunk Cast. I beg your forgiveness. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. All right, we're rolling. What's this, episode 4?
Yeah.
Fucking lovely. So we're going to play Mr. and Mrs. in a bit. I've got Stu to write down his answers. So your answers are about Chris, right?
Correct.
So Chris has to answer for himself, and you have to, and we'll then see if they match up with what you said.
Okay.
But before that, I want to give No More Jockeys a go. Because I played that at Christmas with my family last year, and it was fantastic.
Okay.
And I think it's better after a few drinks. So the way it works is, for example, I will say Stew Whiffin, no more over 50s. And then you can name anyone that doesn't fall in that category. So to pick someone.
Well, if it's under 50.
Yeah, anyone under 50. And you have to pick a no more that's related to them.
Leonardo DiCaprio, no more...
Under 25.
No more under 25 girls.
No. It has to be specific. So what is DiCaprio? So it could be no more actors or no more Americans or no more men. You're not giving an instruction to Leonardo DiCaprio.
Right.
You're not saying, Leo, no more under 25 girls.
So why am I struggling with this? Start with Chris.
Or just go with no more actors.
No more actors.
Let's go with that. Right. So you've said... Leo DiCaprio, number actors.
Under 50 and not an actor.
Right.
Yeah.
Mine's gone blank. Andrew Tate.
Mm-hmm.
No more social influencers.
No more social influencers. Okay. Okay. And that's a tough one, isn't it? Because we can challenge. If we feel someone's put someone forward that breaks the rules, then we can challenge.
Right.
The social influence is interesting because is anyone that... Is can I get some clarification? Is anyone who...
No, because if you get it wrong, you're out.
Is anyone who's famous a social influencer?
No.
If they're on socials and that? No. So I could say Conor McGregor, no more sportsman.
Wrong. Because
you're social
influence.
No, not having that. So you can challenge and clarify. You've got two challenges each. So I've gone for Conor McGregor, no more sports personalities. Let's say not sportsmen, sports personalities. So it could be male or female.
Okay. So in which case I will go Dua Lipa, no more singers.
No more singers. Okay.
Martin McCutcheon.
So no offensive to her singing career.
I know.
And her acting career.
I know.
And she's over 50.
Complimentary to her age, though.
Yeah, she's like, well, thank you. Thank you, darling. I'm going to go with... I find this really... This game is boring as shit.
You play Risk, you dog cunt.
I'm shit with remembering things.
That's the point. That's the point
of it. Mr. and Mrs. coming up soon.
Yep.
So, what is it so far? No more under
50. Well, we can't help
you. Can't be under 50. Can't be an actor. Can't be a social influencer. Can't be a sportsman. Can't Be a Singer. Oh, I guess he's quite fun, isn't it?
Yeah. He's won over. He's on board all of a sudden.
Susie Gage.
Mm-hmm.
No More Scientists.
Interesting, interesting. Is Susie a social influencer?
Sorry to confirm you. Dr. Susie Gage.
Dr. Saucy George.
Dr. Saucy George.
Okay, No More Scientists. Okay, let's go.
Can they be fictional?
Yeah, they can be fictional. Mm. Or they could be... No, he's an actor. I was going to say Wellard the dog, but he's an actor, really.
Rest easy, big fella.
Well, in that case, as we're going down that route, Jason Reed of the Stop and Search podcast, No More Podcasters.
Tom Coles,
mm-hmm.
No More Mates.
No More Mates of Ours.
Yeah.
Greta Thunberg, No More Environmentalists.
She's a social influencer.
Surely she's a social influencer.
No, she's not environmentalist. She's just on fucking... just on socials.
She blew up on socials, all of her influencing...
No, she's an environmentalist, I would say, before anything.
She's a social influencer.
She's not.
Oh, she is.
I think she's a social influencer.
You reckon?
Yeah, big time. Are we giving him another chance or is he out?
Let him have one more chance.
One more chance.
Oh, fucking hell.
Guys. Have one more chance, you cunt.
Sure, I will. I'm happy to go back.
Now, have one more chance. You're enjoying it so much.
Have we done comedians?
No, I was going to do
comedians.
That's who I was going to go for.
Really?
But yeah, but I don't know if Helen has got a podcast. Has Helen got a podcast? She has. Chris is out.
What? Has she got a podcast?
Mm. There we go. Obviously where Chris is going to trip up on podcasts. The obvious hurdle for Chris. So that's Chris out.
Oh,
so now it's between me and Stu. So I will go with... Am I going to go for... I should go for a comedian, but every comedian's got a fucking podcast, haven't they now? Mm. I reckon he's over 50.
He's over
50. Are you trying to catch me out? Mm. Amelia de Mildenberg from...
Oh, yeah.
Chicken Shop Day.
Right.
Right, hold on.
I wouldn't say social influencer because she's a comedian.
Yeah.
She's doing comedy stuff.
I'll be honest with you.
Isn't an actor, isn't a singer. Amelia de Mildenberg, No More...
Hold on. Whoa.
What?
She's going to have a podcast, absolutely. You won't.
She's not.
The two times I've seen it has been in Acast.
Have you?
Yeah.
What's she doing in there?
Well.
All right, well, I mean, my finger's on the piece still. My finger's on the piece, so I won't go with that one. So, I'm...
What do you mean, so?
So.
No, you fucked. You've gone and fucked yourself.
No, because you didn't let me finish. You stopped before I'd done...
You've got a stutter. And yeah. Let you
no, you,
it
you,
time,
you've got to
and
say...
And then you did the Bonenberg top podcast episodes.
What are they?
As a guest or as a presenter?
It's as a guest, isn't it? You fucking dickhead.
Okay, you might have got away with that.
Natasha Demetri... No, actually, that's an actor. Ooh, almost went for that. Almost tripped up on that one.
You're going to the chicken shop, yeah?
Nah, because he's made me unconfident.
You said it though.
I didn't, because I didn't say I didn't say the category. No, you say the name and the category, and then you've placed your piece. Like, right. I can say
right.
you said Marty McCutcheon. We didn't hold you to that.
Yeah, but I said it with a cheeky little look on my face.
Oh, it was the cheeky look, right? Sorry, that came across on the podcast.
Yeah,
I'm gonna in that case. No. Oh, I had some good ones there, and then I've gone away from them. They've not worked out.
You have to push him, mate.
I'll push you in a minute, you cunt.
He's taking
fucking
ages.
Slow prick.
All right. Prince Harry, No More Royals.
Jeffrey Dahmer, No More Serial Killers.
How old was Jeffrey Dahmer?
Well under 50.
Was he? All right.
He's not now.
Well, no, he's dead. So well, we haven't said no more dead people.
Yeah. So what did you go for, No More... Killers was that?
Yeah.
I like it. That's a good one. So I said no more royals, didn't I?
Mm.
Oh, I don't know the name of Boris Johnson's kids.
Neither
do they.
Yeah.
I'm going to do the comedians one now. Joe Lycett, No More Comedians.
Okay.
He can't get involved now. He can't challenge. He's out.
What? I can't challenge?
No.
In which case, I'll go BB-8, No More Sci-Fi Characters.
Okay, and I'll accept that because he's not an actor, he's a character.
Mm.
Okay, Okay.
And I didn't go for R2-D2 or C-3PO in case you challenged me on fucking Anthony Daniels being over 50.
Okay. Right. What we are going for is... You said no more sci-fi characters. Harry Potter. That's not sci-fi, is it? That's like magic. Science fiction.
That's more fantasy. It falls in the fantasy. I'm going to give you that.
Thanks. Harry Potter, no more fictional characters.
Fantasy is a genre of sci-fi, so I'd call him out.
Thanks, mate.
It's not sci-fi. There's no science in it. Oh, the tension.
I was going to say, is this the longest silence in podcasts?
It's electric,
this is like a less painful version of you doing the fucking thingy one that we normally finish
Oh, we'll be
on.
Doing 20 questions at the end. Oh. Don't worry about that. No, we haven't. I think we missed it on the last one.
I'm going to go Riker, no more artists.
Okay. I'm going to call you on that. And I think I've won. Because okay. I think we all consider Riker a mate.
Oh, yeah. You win.
It's a good game, that.
Yeah.
It's a good game. I know Chris hated it, but that's just because he didn't win.
Not very good at it.
Right. No, you get better at it the more you play. When we played it at Christmas, when my mum and dad started, they were terrible at it. Mm. And by the end, they weren't quite as terrible as it. Stu, where did you write your answers?
The next page, but there's no text. The folded page.
The folded page. Okay. Right, Chris.
Yeah.
We are playing Mr. and Mrs.
Yeah.
Right, question number one. Where did you first meet?
I say this is me about me and him then.
Yes, Mr. and Mrs.
All right. It would have to be walking up to him outside that nightclub.
Which
the
nightclub?
Pink Toothbrush.
Stu wrote down the Pink Toothbrush. Yeah, that's
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's give a little tick for one.
House music CD. Yeah.
Who?
House music CD to an alternative album.
Question number two.
Never listen to it.
Who always has the last word in an argument?
Oh, that's a tricky one. We don't really argue. I'd say I'm more vociferous.
What's that mean?
Shoe's more, that's part of the problem. why you'll let me have the last word. So I'd say you'd probably say I would because he's a bit more calmer than me. We don't tend to argue though. So okay. he's more evenly paced than me and probably not as desperate to get the last word in. So I'd probably say I would have the last word.
Okay, he said he would have the last word. So wrong there.
It's a bit of a 50-50 one, that one, because we don't really argue.
When is your anniversary? Do you want me to be more specific on that? Because
I've got that so wrong. I've got that so wrong.
We're saying how long have you been doing the podcast
right.
for this one? When is your anniversary of
what,
the
in
podcast?
A month?
No,
year?
How many years have you been doing the podcast?
I can't fucking remember now. right, so is it 2017 or 2018? That feels about right. After my last mental breakdown. So around then, during then. What
were
we in now?
2023.
6 years.
6 years is what Stu has
yes.
said. I think he fears he's wrong, but fair
For
enough.
The podcast, that's correct. But meeting, that was obviously a lot longer.
Yeah.
Where was your first date? So I guess we'd put that as the first place you chose to hang out together.
Where we chose to hang out together. To hang out, not
yeah. I think we chose.
Or where you hung out together. Right, not just handed him a CD. Where did you first hang out together?
It's define hang out more. By the definition of what
spend time together as two people who are interacting, talking, engaging. Like you didn't hang out together at the Pink Toothbrush, for example.
So, and aside from other meetings.
Yeah. Like when did you first hang out together?
Would have then been at the clubs, really.
Mm-hmm.
So don't, you can't nod.
Don't
you,
nod.
Cause
don't cheating. Give clues.
It's a nervous twitch
that I've never seen before. What are the odds if that happens?
Question number four. What
well,
is then, Stu's
well,
nervous
then, well,
twitch?
Then, well, then it would be, I guess the first one indeed was probably Lizards, right? Was the
yep.
first official one.
And where so. Was that?
Well, the book club, for fuck's sake.
Book club. Okay, we did Lizards in a few places. What three words would Chris use to describe Stu?
Three words I'd describe him.
Yeah. I think you'll get one of them.
Lispy old man.
Old's in there.
There we go.
Funny, nice, old.
What am I giving you? Like? I would describe him as that if I weren't trying to be offensive.
Am I giving you a third for that, I guess? A third of a point?
Enough. Yeah, yeah. Well, no, I either get it or don't. But I should.
All right, you don't.
No, I get a point for that. I've had a drink.
No, you don't get a point for that. If you're saying you get it or you don't, then you don't.
I got an element of it.
Yeah, you didn't
and
get
if
it.
You explain
be a bit more aggressive,
clearly,
you'll get a point.
I will get a great. Come on, man. Like,
all right, cool. Let's give you a cross for that. What is his favourite food?
Ooh.
This surprised me.
Depends, doesn't it? Depends where he is.
No, not my food, you cunt. What do I think your... Sorry, that was really bothering me. Like, what do I think your favourite food is?
Nando's, yeah. I guess you would have
answered. Oh, bollocks!
Oh, he should have. He said pizza.
What's he doing? You're not you.
You see, I thought it as what was your... Like, that's why I was surprised. I wouldn't have thought pizza would be your favourite because you seem nonplussed about it.
Whatever he says, add one because the other one, Lispy Old Man is... Nope.
Who is the best cook out of the two of you? Not just in life, in the world. Chris, yep, agrees. What are you most likely to argue about?
Uploading things on time, but what else would it be?
Is that your answer? Or are you going with something else?
But we argue about everything, Pip.
So early on you said, when I asked who has the last word in an argument, you said, we don't argue. Now, just six questions on, we argue about everything.
No, but not serious.
Interesting
no, not
insight to your relationship.
Like, in terms of top fives and stuff, we're always having a little bit of a backwards and forward, but I wouldn't say they're like proper arguments. It's more like fun ribbing, isn't it?
It's fun ribbing your chosen answer.
What are we most likely to argue about?
You're welcome to face the mic if you want to. You don't have to literally turn your back on the microphone.
Oh, I'm worried now that there's 20 questions still to come.
Can I get a clue?
No. What are you most likely to argue about?
Oh, fucking hell, Chris.
Just a top five, I guess.
A top five. Right, no, I would have given you uploading the podcast late because it's diary.
Yeah.
Oh, come.
I asked several times if you want to go with that answer and you said no.
Okay.
Who is the better driver? And this is in Stu's opinion.
I'm not a particularly proficient driver, but it's just that Stu's quite slow and nervous.
Drives like an old man. Is an old man, to be fair.
Picked you up.
I probably...
All right. Picked you up today, actually.
Probably say he is.
He is, yep. He says... Him
in fairness, when you drove us to Drom Valley and back, you drove very sensibly.
Thank you.
So the question here is, what is your partner's favourite book? So I guess I ask what your favourite book is, and then we see if he guessed it right.
He wouldn't have got the exact book, though, would he?
That fat fucking thing you've been reading.
Don't give clues.
Well, that's what I'd say, is he doesn't know it, does he? He's just watched some Warhammer, some nerd shit.
Warhammer shit is the exact words. Warhammer shit. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6 out of 10.
7 out of 10. Because
Warhammer
the other one,
shit.
7 out of 10 we got.
Right. Let me see if me and Stu have got anything to talk about while you answer your...
Okay.
The naughty Mr. and Mrs. questions.
Ooh,
cheeky.
Oh, I like this.
Again,
sexy.
I don't know... There's only some you're going to be able to answer. But,
well, you assume.
Stu, have you got anything you want to get into? Have you got any films or music that you've particularly enjoyed this year?
Let's have a look. I've got my little list.
Oh, my God.
Songs that have blown me away this year. Worn Out Buildings by 86 TVs.
Right, I don't know it at all.
86 TVs is Hugo, Felix and Will White,
yes,
formerly of the Maccabees.
Yes, of course. I do know it then.
Got an episode with Hugo coming very soon on Off the Beaten Track, recorded that. It's a fucking great band. And it's a little bit Arcade Fire, named after an I Am Clute song that when I first, very, very first met Hugo, we was discussing our love of I Am Clute. So yeah, love that. Beginning of the year track by Churches called Over. I fucking love Churches, and that's an amazing pop record. Tears Can Be Soft by Christine and the Queens. Fucking hell, I love that band.
I've never
got into Christine and the Queens, yeah. Despite really appreciating them. Like the bits I've seen, I remember when they were first on one of the TV shows over here, and everyone was like, wow,
yeah,
who's this?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
But I've never really explored any further.
Oh, they're amazing. Film-wise, there's only been one film out this year that I've had any interest in that was miserable. That's The Old Oak. Directed by Ken. Yeah, of course.
Not seen it.
Ken Loach, Paul Laverty, a dynamic duo.
Is it his most upbeat? I've heard it's quite a positive one overall. Like the trailer and that looks quite.
I mean,
kind of uplifting.
I mean,
for Ken Loach.
Yeah, for Ken Loach, it's. I'd say it's probably on miserably. You know, if you had to score it on a miserable tip, I'd say maybe sort of 6 out of 10. Whereas normally he's a pretty much a straight 10. Mm. Great film, and. I don't know, but what else are you holding back on
a few of these things. So, Christine and the Queens, I said, I remember seeing them on one of the TV shows. Yeah. It was on Jules. It was got to be on Jules. Yeah, I'm just thinking, wow. There's been a few of them over the years for me. Are you into Future Islands?
Yeah, I love Future Islands.
Yeah, so I'm recording with Sam from Future Islands on Friday.
Oh, my God.
Really excited about it because... Their performance on Jimmy Kimmel, I think it was, that just kind of blew everyone away because they just didn't know what was going on. And Lemmy talks about it a lot. And a lot of his chat kind of, he's always quite quick to say, look,
was
to be clear.
Kimmel, was it Letterman?
It's Kimmel.
Right.
No, I think it was Letterman because I'm sure I remember him afterwards saying, these guys, look at that.
It was Letterman.
100% right. Yeah. I remember just being blown away, and Lemmy talks about his excitement because he was like, I don't know what's happening here. Because there's points where you think this has got to be a joke, but it's such conviction. And the way I liken it is like some of my favorite actors, your Tom Hardy's, your Christian Bale's, all of these will do the most ridiculous voice for a character, but with such conviction that it's believable, and that's what makes it exciting. And that's kind of how I feel about that performance in particular, that it just took everyone off.
He translates everything. He looks like a young Marlon Brando, which is mesmerising in itself.
Have you seen him acting?
And
He made his acting debut in The Changeling of this year on Apple. Really fucking good. He's fantastic. Really good show.
But the dancing was...
Chris would like it, actually. It's got a lot of kind of... it's modern, but it's got a lot of kind of folk mythology, almost kind of Lovecraftian type... stuff. It's really interesting.
Yeah, it's amazing, that performance. And there's no it's no surprise it went viral because it literally at some point it almost barks in like a death metal style.
Yeah.
Which is essentially their style. It's like
pretty much sings so beautifully.
Yeah, it's
Again, where I've been preparing for this, I don't know if he'll go for this at all, but one of the things that has come to mind, and I don't know if you'll agree or not, but for some reason, Fine Young Cannibals... I think the style of singing, there's a combination of kind of soul and
Roland Gift.
I think there's something in there. Again, they're not the same music, but there's something in the style of vocal delivery and the... I like that. And there was a performance, the first thing, one of the earliest things I saw this year was Shakira's performance on Jimmy Kimmel. I think that might be why... Kimmel's on my mind.
Right.
And I can't recommend it enough. It's with a producer called Bzerp, I believe, BZZRP or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's like music session 32 or something. But if you search Shakira on Kimmel, it's so good because number one, it's exciting because it's a Latin American song on American TV. All the lyrics are in
Portuguese,
isn't it? Yeah. Number two, the audience are all Portuguese, so they're all singing along and getting so hype about it. And you watch it, and just as a performance, it's amazing. It's really, the energy is insane. Yeah. Shakira smashes the shit out of it. And then you learn what the song's about, and it's all about her partner, who was Barcelona captain, Piqué, was it? Cheated on her and left her for a younger woman. And it's kind of, it's such a confident song. All the lyrics are about kind of, you kind of forgot who I am. Like you left Shakira for someone, for someone else. And it's performed with such, it's not a sad breakup song. It's performed with such confidence, and I became, you know, your wife. I'm going to remind you who the fuck I am, and all the lyrics are kind of on that, which you don't get initially. And as weird as it is, I kind of, the people I've told about it, I'm like, go and watch the performance, then go and watch the actual music video, which has the subtitles that tells you what the song's about. Then go and watch the performance again, and just all the crowd just rapping along and singing along.
Oh, check that
out. It's fucking electric. I've watched it so many times. It gets me proper emotional, partly because, as I said, representation is always exciting and gets me emotional. And the fact that this is a primetime American show and it's the first kind of Latin American full kind of a performance and all that. But it's really fucking good. And I've then gone on to watch how important that song has been in Latin America, and there's so many videos online, and we cry at crowds singing along. There's so many videos online of like full festivals in Brazil and Colombia and things like that, where there's hundreds of thousands of people, and this song's just come on. It's not even Shakira performing. This song's come on, and everyone knows every single word, and they're losing their shit. And it's just, there's such a beautiful energy.
There are moments where, like, someone does a performance on a show that transcends their career. Not that Shakira's career needs to be transcended anywhere. Yeah. It's been very, very established. But that Future Islands performance, and for me, seeing Idols perform Samaritans on Jules Holland, I was like, holy shit, what is this? Just that, let's just grab this moment.
But Jules is the British version of it.
Well,
it was
Christine and the Queens doing Tilted, I think, on Jules for the first time. I was like, fuck, what is this?
I always remember Adele doing, I'm sure it was Daydreamer, was the first thing she did, and just her and an acoustic guitar. And I know from speaking to Richard Russell and Adele and all that at XL that there was pressure because it's Jules, particularly at that point. He's staggering out the door. Because at that point, there's pressure to add a band, add a full, because it's Jules. It's your big opportunity. Yeah. And they pushed back and said, no, just Adele with a guitar is enough. And she was on, I think, directly...
What Adele did they go for?
Adele boy. Just David Jason with a guitar.
That would have been incredible.
No income tax. Just slow.
I'd love to hear Adele saying about Trevor Francis track sweep from a Mickey Get the Bush. That'd be fucking great.
Bush. I think she went on after Macca. Right. And Macca was like in full Macca mode.
Yeah.
Like thumbs up.
Having a happy time.
Maybe it was Hometown Glory. Yeah, it might have been. It might have been Hometown Glory. Yeah. And yeah, I love that shit. There's something electric about it. And when, as you said, when you have those performances that transcend all of it. Do we have that with Jules still? I don't know if I'm just out of touch, but it doesn't feel like it's... Or what? Do we have it anywhere?
I don't know. Music TV's disappearing, isn't it? Like, but yeah, I don't know. Every now and again you see something and it's like, wow, that's fucking incredible. But I'm sure that Idol's performance was probably about 6 years ago now.
Yeah, it's a good, it's a good modern shout though.
I'm going to have a piss and shut the door.
Oh, God, you've got to have a wee now, have you? You had one a minute ago, Grandad. I like your trainers, Stewie.
They're about 12 years old.
Really?
I've had them since fucking hell. They might be older than that.
I'd like to apologise to everyone listening for the amount of conversations going on off mic. Casually in the background.
Banal conversations.
Have you got any music tips for this year? Any favourite songs? It's quite straightforward.
Oh yeah.
Oh, you need to get Ed Gamble on Hardcore Listening because he's into all that.
Oh yes, but I mean, I know one band.
Yeah, but you can have a big conversation about that one band.
Metal bar, and I had a time of my fucking life. But that's it. That's all I know. I know nothing else.
Georgia Smith. Little Things has proper blown me away this year. Yeah. Really good. You'd like it.
Mm. I think I've heard it actually. Yes.
Yeah, it's good shit. And Tyler, the Creator, Dogtooth have been, again, I rarely get any new music these days.
Kanye
I'm such an
West,
fucking...
Kendrick Lamar's album, which might have been in the last 12 months.
Was that this year or last year? Yeah, I thought it was great. I thought it was amazing.
I think it was... Probably, maybe just after when we recorded, if I think about it.
Kendrick Lamar.
Let's have a little looky-looky. There it is.
It was 2022, mate.
Yeah, but...
yeah, but don't try and argue it. Yeah, but...
just ready to defend it. No, it's the date it came out. There's no argument here.
Because we recorded in January, which is the annoying piece of shit. So, yeah, can't really defend it.
Can't defend it at all. Stu.
Yes.
Naughty Mr. and Mrs. questions.
Yes. Bring it on.
That I got off dine.co.uk. Which part of your body does Stu... No, so you've answered this about you, right?
Yeah.
Which part of Chris's body do you love the most?
It's the naughty section, by the way.
You don't give any clues.
He's part one cock.
Part used sausage, I'll take it. I'll take it. I won't take the part used sausage, I'll take the answer. Where's we'll the riskiest that. Place that Chris has had sex?
No, with him.
Oh, that you've had sex together? Okay, that you've had sex.
Chris at nightclub.
No, Chris no, me nightclub. And you. Where would we have had sex if it was the riskiest place? I answered it like it was what me and him have done together.
Yeah, all right. You answered it. Well,
he
you
was
want,
obviously
mate.
Right, though, if it was just me, obviously, in the corridor.
Why are you making it even more difficult?
If we had sex.
Okay, you
had...
said a nightclub, so I'm crossing it out. That's your imagined sexiest place. Right. Or do you want to go for another?
No, he's creating a fictional scenario in a fictional okay. place.
I said Mondeo.
He said Mondeo. What?
Mate.
So which one of you is the bride? That's you, right?
Well, I've written it out if it's not clear, right?
Yeah, you've written both of you, but yes, the question but is, sure. What is the bride's bra size?
Yeah, so it depends who's
what do you bride. Think Chris's bra what's size is bra and, what's, size? And what's your bra size?
I don't really. One. I don't understand bra sizes apart from 38 double D.
Okay.
And as much as my moves are pretty big, they're not that big. But I wouldn't know what really tiny little fucking Chris tits.
You
know,
have a guess then, mate.
I don't know. A 32A.
It's close.
33B. Oh. It's not far close. Off. And his guess for you?
38 double D.
No,
I didn't.
44C.
next
question. What is your partner's favourite sex position? So what do you think he thinks your favourite sex position what is? No, think... what is your favourite sex
yeah,
position?
Yeah, yeah.
That's just it? The answer, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. What's your favourite sex position, mate?
Honestly.
What do I think? Honestly, what do I think it is?
No, what not what do you think? What is your favourite sex position?
Yeah. What is your favourite sex
position? Stu, what's your favourite sex position?
Just say it, man!
There's no wrong answers here, mate. This is a safe space. No kink shaming.
What is it when they ride you? What's that called?
Cowgirl.
Cowgirl, yeah.
Right. Cowgirl. Okay, no, he gets missionary.
I'm going missionary. I don't think there's anything. I think missionary gets a terrible name.
Oh, it's a great position.
It's a good old position.
You pop a pillow under there. Everyone's having a lovely time.
Where are you putting a pillow?
Just under the hips.
Under their
arse. Under the hips or arse to raise, change the angle.
You can do a really good thing on the G-spot with that.
Chris started to show us.
I read.
You literally use your hand and fingers.
Next question. Which celebrity would Stu choose to join you two in a threesome?
Can you read my handwriting?
Not really, but we'll see how it goes. I'm not reading out the bit in brackets. Crossing that out. That's not for broadcast.
That's the truth.
Bjork.
Bjork.
Oh, I fucking thought to write Bjork.
And what did you write?
Alice Lowe, the comedian.
Alice Lowe.
Lowe?
Is it Lowe or Levine? Alice, no, that's someone else. In it. Alice Lowe, the comedian. She was in Garth Marenghi's Dark Place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I worked with her recently.
I honestly went to write Bjork.
I'm glad you chose Alice Lowe that I've never once mentioned
I think you have done. Oh, have you?
She was great. She was great in that. What's the film where she's pregnant?
Prevenge.
Amazing in that.
Really good.
I thought she's a bit of you.
Yeah. I mean, she's very attractive, but I've never once mentioned her to you ever.
What date did you sleep together on? So if you had slept together, what date do you think you would have slept together
first
on?
First night.
First, yep. Tick. Tick. Who gets horny the most?
Christopher William Glasson.
And I want to clarify, it's between the two of you. I think you answered of in the world. But it was just between the two of you, but it's the same answer. What is your biggest turn on, Stu Whiffin?
I don't remember what I wrote in this.
Don't give any clues. Excuse me. What's your biggest turn on, Stu?
No kink shaming. This is a safe space.
No kink shaming.
It's a safe space. What, answer
what
honestly.
What gets you going the most?
Lemon party.
Lemon party.
Buffet food was what he went for.
Fucking hell, mate. That ain't far off it.
Exactly.
Not giving you it.
I think I'd park up having me leg over sometimes if there was a good fucking old school buffet.
100%, yeah. Bro. 100%. I'm down for that.
Out of the two of you,
yeah,
who is the loudest in the bedroom?
Christopher William Glasson.
Yeah. So, who is the most adventurous in the bedroom?
Christopher Glasson.
Yeah, of course it is. Great work. One. Oh, that's not as many as I thought. One, two, three, four, five.
I thought we'd done better than that.
We were in Alice Lowe for some fucking surreal reason.
Yeah, sorry about that, mate.
So you got 6 out of 10. He got 5 out of 10.
Oh,
so
I thought we did better, mate.
He knows you better than you know him.
I tell you what, that is really hard to get the naughty one. I think you still did better.
Mm.
Yeah, I still... In terms of category, it was an easy one for me to do better on.
No, he did better than you. Because you're the one that had to write the answers. So you're the one that got 5 out of 10. He got 6 out of 10.
Oh, so mine was harder. Yeah. I did better.
You did better. You did better. What are we moving on to next? That was a good little Mr. and Mrs. I took my mum to go and see Cabaret.
With self-esteem
and Jake Shears from the Scissor Sisters. And it's fucking amazing.
It's at the Kit Kat Club, right?
At the Kit Kat Club. It's one of the most astounding things I've seen. From the minute you walk in, your entry time is like an hour before the show starts, and there's performances going on, all sorts of cabaret stuff. So good. Can't recommend it enough. Chris is having a giggle fit.
Was the Kit Kat Club something you fucking joined when you stuck four fingers in something when you was about 17?
I went into science at your mum to see Sliver.
All right, neither of you are really sure why you're laughing.
I have no idea why I'm laughing.
It was that one where it was like the saucy area of the 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, was that Alec Baldwin
and Sharon Stone?
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, if you think about the premise of that, no, you're just perving on people with like cameras. That's the first film.
I don't know what's happening. I love that he's lost it at the prospect of taking your mum towards Slipper.
He's just so abstract. Why? I wanted to say something provocative, but why did I go to a fucking really shit 90s? Was it good?
Right, because it started with amazing. Jodie, not Jodie, incredible. Actor, she's fucking absolutely fucking amazing.
I don't know who was in it originally, but I would say try and see it when these two are in it, because both of their performances.
No, but it started with Eddie Redmayne, and
that's it. Eddie Redmayne's redoing it in New York.
She just released an album with Bernard Butler as well. Ginger, stunning,
Lulu.
She's going back out on tour. Fuck's sake! No, you've had her on your podcast.
Am I?
Oh,
Cinema
Machine.
Oh,
arguably the greatest fucking British actress of the moment. Like,
yeah, I worked with her on Taboo, right?
Jodie.
Her?
No.
No, who?
Oh, what's her fucking name?
Who are we talking about?
Oh, she's in.
She's in.
What's the film where she wants to be a country and western singer?
Yeah. I worked with her on Taboo.
What's her
and had her on the
name?
Podcast. Don't ask me because I've forgotten and I should know. She's a pal.
She's amazing.
Yeah, she's got a new film out with Riz Ahmed and the lad from The Bear as well, called Fingernails. Can't think of her name. The lad from The Bear is called Jeremy something, and her name is... Have you found it yet, Stu? I did a little fart. Wouldn't have picked up on Mike. Would have got away with it if it weren't for you blasted kids.
Bernard. Oh, I was literally... What was I watching him in last night?
So, while Shu's doing that, explain what Cabaret's about, please.
Have you seen that he's got a phone cover that covers up the lens on his camera so he can't take pictures? It's just amazing. It's obviously of the film Cabaret. It's about an American writer comes to Berlin and goes to the Cabaret Club, which is all... as you go in there, and it's based on the old Cabaret Clubs there, when you're in the venue, you've got phones on your desk, and in the old Cabaret Club... The dancers would ring any tables that they liked the look of and invite them to a private room or to meet after and things like that. So it's all very sexy, but the songs are amazing. And it's,
you took your mum to that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was really good. But yeah, just all of it. And I just think Jake Shears blew me away.
Yeah.
Just, I obviously he was in the Scissor Sisters, he's good, but just his whole performance is astounding. And Self-Esteem, there's a song that they do at the end, and it was just hair standing on end moment. The big finale as such, but yeah.
Oh, amazing.
Really so, like, fucking good. Like, why is it taking you so long to look up?
Oh, he's just looking at pictures of her.
Have you got distracted? Are you looking at other things?
No, I'm looking at Bernard Butler.
Why are you looking up Bernard Butler?
Because he produced her record and duetted with her on the...
It was you.
Jesse Buckley, for fuck's sake.
Jesse Buckley, Jesus Christ.
That show launched at the Kit Kat Club with Jesse Buckley and...
Was it really? I didn't know that at all. And, yeah, the guy we've just forgotten.
Eddie Redmayne.
Eddie Redmayne.
And I couldn't get tickets for Love and the Money, and the cheapest tickets were like £300.
Mm.
And I desperately wanted to go because...
It was, I will say, it was more expensive than I was expecting because it was my mum's birthday. I was like, I'll get your tickets to go and see this because she's been going to see a few shows. I've been to a few this year. I saw The Pillow Man with Lily Allen and Paul Kaye and loads of others. I saw The Effect, which is one of the best things I've ever seen with Papa S.A. Adu and Taylor. I can't remember her name, but that was astounding. And I saw Vanya. The Effect is about, it's written by Lucy Prebble, who wrote on Succession and wrote I Am Susie, which series two of had Blake Harrison in. It was fantastic, right. Really good. And it's about two people who are in a science experiment where they give you a drug, or potentially give you a drug because you might be on a placebo, that can fabricate love. So it's this whole thing of these two. Are they falling in love? Are they falling in love because they're on drugs? If when they're off the drugs, are they going to remain in love? Does it matter how it happened? If they find this in each other and all this? Really good. Really fucking good.
How they being observed?
Yeah, they're being observed. So the whole thing, there's just like a square. The stage is in the rounds. Yeah. So it's in the middle. And there's only four actors. And it's the two who are being observed and the two observers. And it just, yeah. You two have got the giggles. You've gone.
I love the fact you just fucking snuck in body of evidence on the choir.
You before it was the single that accompanied Sliver, wasn't it? Wise Man.
It was, yeah.
I don't know why I'm Goldish trivia about Sliver. It sounds decent, man. It sounds decent. I'm sorry.
Really fucking good.
I also want to derail anything.
If it's ever on again, I recommend it highly. It was on at the National.
And Body
it was
of Evidence.
The other. The other really good thing was it was the most. I'm going to be really serious and keep plugging on. It was the most diverse crowd I've ever seen at the National, because the one thing that annoys me about theatre is how old and white the crowd often is. It's old white people.
And Madonna have got quite a young audience though.
So what they did with The Effect is they did a lot of outreach stuff to give free tickets or discounts to tickets to schools in London and get just a real mix of people in.
Yeah,
but it's
cool.
A good play.
Yeah.
Right. TV theme tunes. The death match. You've got to pick a TV theme tune each that you can get all the way through with getting all the lyrics correct.
The lyrics?
Yeah. You've got to sing a TV theme tune and see how far in you can get.
There's no way. We know how bad I am at names.
You've got to have a theme tune. You've got a minute to think of which theme tune you want to get. Stu might get two words in and then stumble.
You heard my post.
I've dumped all this information years ago out of my brain. Like, it just wasn't, it just was taking up space. Shay, what you got?
In 1969, a crack.
Hang on, don't start yet. You're going to pick A-Team, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that allowed?
It's not, it's just got an intro, so it's a really tough one. But that does mean if Chris has got something that he can remember longer than what the intro is, because I'm going to time you both,
right,
then he could win. So would you like to begin then,
yes,
while Chris is still thinking? Okay. 3, 2, 1, go.
In 1969.
No, you've got to do it. No, stop him. Do it at the pace you started at.
All right.
3, 2, 1, go.
In 1969, a crack commando unit promptly escaped from a high security prison, and today survivors, soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem and no one else can find them, maybe you can hire the A-team.
You've got to beat 13 seconds, so Chris. Bad. That's pretty straightforward. What are you going to choose? And then we will set the timer.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, okay.
It starts with the chorus, so I've got at least 5 seconds there.
Okay, are you ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, go.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, heroes in a half shell. Turtle power, they're the heroes in the half shell, and they're cool.
Nope, he's got it wrong, and he was just under 13 seconds, so shit. Stu, you win.
They're
the world's most fearsome fighting team. No, they're heroes in a half shell and they're green. No, and they're green. When the evil shredder attacks, I'll go with Turtles. Those party boys don't cut up no slack. Teenage Mutant Ninja. I'd go for, because it annoyed me that Chris was saying he keeps singing it in the house from Molly and he's getting it wrong. I'd go for DuckTales. Life is like a hurricane here in Duckburg. Race cars, lasers, aeroplanes. It's a duck blur. Might solve a mystery or rewrite history. DuckTales.
Woo! I
There you go. All those people will be wondering when you're going to do some music.
There's one
there
word
go.
Early, though.
You know when Pip says he keeps getting it wrong?
Yeah.
I sent him one voicemail.
Yeah, but you got it wrong early. You got it wrong early. It wasn't
one
acceptable.
Word wrong. One word.
Yeah, but it was early, so you'd be
and
out.
He didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
He didn't enjoy it. He went, oh, that's fun. You're winding up your girlfriend. He was like, you said a word wrong.
Yeah,
that's all I got.
I didn't take like half hour to just really keep listening to Chris singing the DuckTales theme and really enjoy it. I couldn't quite enjoy it because I'm too pedantic. I didn't get the real joy out of it that I was meant to get. Fucking didn't. Life is like a hurricane. Fresh Prince. You'd get Fresh Prince and you've never seen it, right?
Yeah. Well, you've never seen it?
No.
And you I'm surprised that you didn't do Only Fools and Horses. I mean, mumbling and leaning away from the microphone, fucking cracking.
So can you do Fresh Prince?
Hold on.
It's like he's practiced already.
No, I haven't. I'm just fucking good.
Okay. Let's see then. Go on then.
Now this is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down. If I'd like to take a minute, if you'd like to take a minute.
No, it's not that either.
Oh, what is it?
I'd like to take a minute.
Oh.
End of. He was the worst. Just sit right there. Oh, we've all heard this story.
Yeah.
And you're a bellend.
I mean, I did do DuckTales and Turtles already, so I still win.
Okay. Listeners, you decide how much you care about that. Right, okay.
Guys,
yeah.
Do either of you ever leave bad reviews?
Sometimes.
No.
And what kind of cunt leaves bad reviews? It turns out it's Chris.
Sometimes.
Can't get my head around it. Why? What have you left bad reviews for? Talk to me.
I plan to leave a bad review about the surveyors who have not picked up dry rot and cost me about £10,000 to £15,000 in my house, which would cost other people that. So
yeah, that feels acceptable.
Where else have I left a bad review? I think I've left one before. I planned to, but then I never did. But yeah.
No, restaurants, I don't think I'd ever leave one. So if I don't enjoy it, I don't enjoy it. Like, it's fine. This came to mind because of listening to Chatterbox, and they were reading a few of their bad reviews that they've got on Apple or whatever. And it's like, particularly with a podcast, it blows my mind that you take the time to tell someone you think that. Like, it's easy to like just stop listening if you're not into it, but to the pettiness to take the time to go, I don't like that they keep interrupting each other and they never finish a story and so on and so forth. It's like, bore off.
I never ever read reviews of our podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, I was on Apple Podcasts the other day and I thought, I'll go and see our reviews. Our reviews are still great.
Yeah.
So I then looked at the Acceptable in the 80s ones and they were all very positive and all very sweet. But then there was one and it went, I've had enough of this shit. It's just Roy laughing very hardly whilst cunt describes people's cocks.
Yeah, it is.
And I thought...
I left that 5 stars. Like,
yeah. But I just thought... And I was a little bit offended by it. I was like, what was you expecting?
Well, maybe, like, look, I think we're all being... I think the world that we live in is that... Well, I've just fallen down. I think review... I read a lot of reviews for, like, Amazon purchases. I'm really sorry. Amazon purchases and films. I don't like to always per se read the paid things, even on things like Rotten Tomatoes for movie reviews. I want to see what the average Joe says. And I think people actually, you know, if they're taking their time to leave a review, I think, you know, yeah. I mean, like, psychologically, when you call this out and say, like, you know, who's doing that? I mean, like, they say that the psychology is something like, you know, if you have a positive experience, you'll tell 3 people. If you have a negative one, you'll tell a lot more than that. And I guess it's an opportunity for people to leave it. Now, when you read some reviews, sometimes when I'm on Screwfix and they give it 5 stars and they're like, they're literally like, 5 stars, haven't used the paint yet, but arrived on time. And I think, now that's a kind of review, I just think, I'm not sure what's the benefit going on there. Like, and then sometimes, 1 star, painted my dog with this, washed off 5 days later. It's like, that's also not useful because you don't know what to do.
Many times I've had conversation with Pip about what does Chris do of a day.
Turns out he's reading reviews on Screwfix.
Yeah, right. There is a part of my day that's spent to that, so yeah.
Are we going to wrap this?
There's some really sad cunts on here. For the last 3 hours, Molly, I've been looking at these tragic pricks.
Hey, are you hurt? Have you had a bad review then, Pete?
No, I've not had any. I just, again, it was hearing this on Chatterbox of them going over reviews, and it's like, what kind of sad cunt does that? And I get it, again, I get it if it's a functional thing for a product, I guess.
Slightly different. I get that.
It's when it's for any humans, really. If it's a product or something, as said, if someone's genuinely like ripped you off or things like that, I understand that, a warning. Mm-hmm. But when it's purely a taste thing, it's like
the
point of
right. You haven't paid for.
Yeah. I think if podcasts are free.
I disagree with all that completely. Or she says, you start writing caveats like that, there's no game.
But what's
it's like when you say, don't judge me, but it's like we're all judging each other 100% of the time.
But what's the point in writing a negative review of a podcast? Depends, what's the actual point?
It depends if it's constructive for the person who's creating the podcast.
What's the point in that one, that it's just, it's cunt making jokes about dicks and Roy laughing? Like, what's the positive help there?
I would say, but let's not straw man this by going, what's the point of we pick one and it's a really bad.
Oh, no, that's what I'm saying. As I said, it's what I was saying on products or whatever, if it's something that's a constructive help thing, when it comes down to taste.
Right, we've had feedback on ours where our volume's not correct. Without getting that, and maybe they weren't comfortable leaving anywhere else or just convenient.
They weren't horrible. That was like...
It's not horrible.
That's it, I agree. That's what I'm saying. I think you're right there. If it's constructive feedback on technical things or things like that, but when it's just taste,
if every single one of our reviews said this is poorly researched and, maybe our podcast manner was bad. Like, because
I understand that they've listened.
I have certain behaviours on a podcast and, like, you know, you have radio manner and there's a reason why there's radio manner. You shouldn't have overly long silences. You shouldn't have you shouldn't have too many filler words where it irritates people. And I think that's something to sort of, like, be conscientious of. I'm not defensive of those things. If they say... if they've gone out their way to say Chris's voice is fucking unbearable, I'd go...
Sorry about that, I've done that a couple of times.
I'd at that point say there's not really a lot can be done about that, and that's your personal opinion. It's like, that's excessively vexatious as a point as a point on a feedback.
What's that mean?
Like you're just doing it because you just want to upset the person.
Oh, yeah. They're just being a cunt.
And that's what I feel generally. As I said, I completely agree. I think you're right in the specificity of if it's something constructive or something actionable, I guess. But when it's just taste, I don't think there's anything constructive or actionable, or a lot of the times it's just, you don't have to listen.
Yeah.
Like, particularly with podcasts, it's free and you don't have to listen. And it's like, it's such a weird thing to go out of your way to say, here's what I don't like about these two people. Yeah, I was using Chatterbox as the example, because they have loads of people going, I don't like it that they just talk nonsense or this or that. It's like, that's absolutely a fine opinion, but no one else needs to hear it. Yeah. Just stop listening. Like, it's fine to stop listening. It's not important that they or others hear what you don't like about it is the thing that gets me. It's when it's just purely a taste thing. It's like, it feels either nasty or overly self-important. That it's like, it's really important that people know my opinion on this or my taste on this. And it's like, well, that's not important.
I mean, to an extent. I mean, like, some of my...
But favorite... I think you're right. I think if it's constructive, if it's... Yeah. I don't like...
My favorite,
but again, it's a grey line then, isn't it, really, I guess?
YouTube is, I almost enjoy the comments as much as I do the content these days. Yeah. And also, there's a risk of that, because it is open, excuse me, unless they close it. And sometimes the commentary and the funniest wit is hearing some person off the internet saying something, and it's like, that's the most funny, insightful perspective on what I just digested. And I love it. Unfortunately, it does ride through it. Sometimes I love it because it's a bit cutting, and other times I like it because it's very positive. But unfortunately, in the world of free speech, and we're in this domain now of social media where everyone, engagement, and engagement is going to cause people to think that their voice is worth hearing, like Twitter, right?
I think Eva Rose's voice is worth listening to. She's one of the first people to comment on Body of Evidence. She left a review saying, "This movie is simply art. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm planning on it. And if William Dafoe's delicious arse is in it, then there is no doubt about it."
Is that genuinely a comment?
Uppercase, "This is art."
That is insane. That's a comment.
This is art.
Can you look up a Sliver, please? Cool. A quick comment on Sliver.
Are we up for doing one more episode? Just quickly.
Bang one out. How are you finishing? I mean, it's 10 o'clock, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure?
We'll be done by 11. We'll do a short one.
I'm sober,
so I want to continue these reviews. I want to do 20 questions, and I've got a couple more listener questions. And maybe we talk a little bit about the Tories.
Okay.
All right, let's stop. I'm going to go for a wee.
You've been listening to Scroobius Pip's Distraction Pieces.
There we go. That was part four. Did you hear the reluctance in Stu's voice to do a part five? If I haven't already posted a picture that illustrates his reluctance, I'll post a picture in my Instagram story, maybe, or on Patreon. Someone give me a nudge somewhere. And I'll post a picture that shows Stu's true reluctance. All right. Good luck if you're going in for episode 5, is all I'll say. So I'll see you then. Ta-ta.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.